Dodd-Frank. It was passed almost exactly 8 years ago in July of 2010. It was a much anticipated bill. It came a couple of years after the financial crisis. And basically, lawmakers were supposed to figure out what on earth had gone wrong to cause the financial crisis and then put some rules in place to make sure that never happened again.
Mark Williams is a professor of finance at Boston University, and he was involved in the original drafting of Dodd-Frank. So he was really excited when that bill came out.
Did you read it all?
You mean the over 2,000 pages? Yes. So
you did?
Yes.
Mark read the Mondo PDF file on his computer at his beach house in Rhode Island.
Wow. Wonder if he bought that in the airport lounge on the way
over
there.
Worst speech read ever.
Yes, indeed. For most people, anyways. But for Mark,
I remember finding kernels, which really got me excited. It gave me a sense that, you know, the people that were abused by the banking system now would be protected.
Were there any fist pumps?
Well, I was very pleased.
Mark is more of a fist pump on the inside kind of guy.
He didn't even bite at
I know,
all.
I tried.
Not even a little bit.
I know.
8 years later, Mark is back at his beach house. That's where he was when we spoke to him. And he was also there last week when he watched Congress and President Donald Trump pass major changes to Dodd-Frank, rolling back big parts of the regulations that were in Dodd-Frank. This is The Indicator, where every day we tell you a short story about the economy. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, the rollback of Dodd-Frank. What's changed, why, and what it will mean for the U.S. economy. On like a scale of 1 to 10, how big a deal are the changes?
Oh. Well, you know, 10 would be a major rollback.
Yeah, 10 would be just like burning it. Yeah.
7.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, whose network agents see a house as more than just an investment. Whether you're ready to buy or sell now or thinking about it for tomorrow, get to know a Berkshire Hathaway Home Services network agent today.
Today's indicator is $50 billion. $50 billion was Dodd-Frank's line in the sand, and it was one of the most significant things the Dodd-Frank bill did.
Too big to fail. This was a term you might have heard a lot of during the financial crisis. And it basically just meant that a bank was so big and so fundamental to the health of the U.S. economy that the government would not, could not, let it fail. It was too big to fail. So the bank would get bailed out if it ran into too much trouble. And because of that implicit support from the government, the bank had to play by certain rules so that it would be less likely to fail in the future.
The thing was, nobody really knew which banks were too big to fail. So Dodd-Frank called it. It said any bank with more than $50 billion in assets was too big to fail. And for Mark Williams, this was one of the fist pump moments.
Up to this period of time, we really hadn't identified the too big to fail banks like Lehman Brothers. And now we actually had a line. It was defined as anything over $50 billion in assets would be a too big to fail bank. That seemed to be a very clear line.
About 40 banks were deemed too big to fail. And that included giants like Bank of America and Wells Fargo, but also smaller but still kind of big banks like Capital One. Under Dodd-Frank, these banks were now subject to a bunch of new rules, but so were smaller banks.
So here were three of the big rule changes for banks under Dodd-Frank. First, too big to fail banks had to pass a stress test. This meant the banks had to keep a lot more cash on hand. It also meant the banks couldn't borrow as much money as they had before.
Second rule change, Dodd-Frank put a bunch of rules in place around mortgages. This included higher standards for mortgage applicants and also new standards for deciding on the value of a home. This applied to banks across the board, not just to banks that were too big to fail.
The third major rule was the so-called Volcker Rule. It banned banks from doing a lot of investing for the sole purpose of making themselves wealthier. Instead, banks were just supposed to be making investments that would make their customers wealthier. So this got kind of murky because those things can overlap. But the idea was that banks would be focusing on the interest of their customers, not on their own profits, potentially at the expense of their customers. So those were three of the big regulations that Dodd-Frank put in place.
But after Dodd-Frank passed, banks started to complain that the regulations were causing them problems. So a lot of people argued that the regulations actually gave the very biggest banks an advantage because those banks could more easily absorb the cost of complying with all these new rules.
smaller banks and even the smaller too-big-to-fail banks often said the cost of complying with these regulations was too much. The stress tests meant that it was harder for banks to make money. They had to keep more cash on hand. They couldn't invest it. They also couldn't borrow as much. And Mark Williams says, yes, there were undeniable problems with Dodd-Frank.
The act really had mission creep in essence. It covered not just the largest banks, but it started to cover the much smaller banks, community banks within the rural areas of America. And I think it would be strongly argued these small community banks didn't cause the financial crisis, so why should they bear the regulatory burden of Dodd-Frank?
Members of Congress were hearing all kinds of complaints from banks in their districts, and Donald Trump mentioned Dodd-Frank several times on the campaign trail.
Dodd-Frank has been a disaster.
We're going to be doing a big number of Dodd-Frank.
We have to get rid of Dodd-Frank.
We expect to be cutting a lot out of Dodd-Frank.
And when Trump was elected, work started on the Dodd-Frank rollback right away. And by the way, this was not just a Republican mandate. Rolling back Dodd-Frank had a lot of bipartisan support, much more so, by the way, than the original Dodd-Frank, which pretty much broke along party lines.
One of the biggest changes in this rollback of Dodd-Frank was to the idea of too big to fail itself. Now, in order to be too big to fail, a bank has to have $250 billion in assets. Remember, that is up from just $50 billion in assets. So instead of about 40 banks being too big to fail, only about a dozen are.
But Mark says that these smaller banks can still threaten the rest of the financial system because they are often intricately connected to other banks of a similar size or bigger. In other words, they lend each other money. They depend on each other to function.
You know, when Lehman failed, what we learned was it wasn't a single bank, but it was systemic risk across a broad group of banks. From a systemic risk standpoint, if you line up five $50 billion banks and they're interconnected, that's as powerful as one $250 billion bank. So to say that they're not equal is intellectually dishonest.
And Mark points out, even for the banks that are still deemed too big to fail, things will be a lot more relaxed. Banks don't have to keep as much cash on hand. They can borrow more. Banks with assets under $10 billion will no longer have to worry about the Volcker Rule. They can selfishly invest with abandon.
And this is a big one, mortgage requirements will be relaxed for those banks. Supporters of the rollback say this will help even the playing field in the banking industry and help keep small banks going strong.
I mean, a lot of the criticism that we've heard is that Dodd-Frank is just way too restrictive, that it cripples banks. What would you say to that?
Well, banks themselves continue to make record earnings. Their stocks continue to increase in value. And that demonstrates the fact that banks are making more money than they did before the financial crisis. So what I would take from it is that banks themselves are stronger in part because of the Dodd-Frank Act.
Mark says Dodd-Frank was flawed and it was being used too broadly. But he thinks the big banks need to be kept in check, and we can't count on their self-interest to be aligned with the interest of the whole U.S. economy.
It clearly cost banks more money, but banks themselves demonstrated that they need to be regulated due to their misbehavior during the financial crisis. And so from that perspective, I felt that Dodd-Frank was important. For me to think it's watered down now, it increases the likelihood we'll have a bank-related financial crisis.
It has been 10 years since the financial crash, and the economy's been doing really well lately. But Mark is worried that if we too easily forget the lessons of the financial crisis, we could be setting ourselves up for the next one.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, whose agents see beyond the next transaction to form long-term relationships. Whether you're ready to buy or sell now or thinking about it for tomorrow, get to know a Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Network agent today.